ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما اللهم فكهنا في الدين اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. We look at Surah Al-Mulk, the tafsir from ayahs 8 to 30. Previously, when we began the surah, we learned about what it means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is greatly blessed. We learned why He created life and death. Then we learned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the seven heavens in layers, one above another. And in this creation of the skies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to look again and again to see if we find any faults, any defects, or any rifts. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns our attention to the stars and the skies, how He made them missiles for the shayateen. Then we learned about, for those who disbelieve, how there is a punishment of the hellfire prepared for them. We will continue to look at from ayah 8, where we learn more about the azabi jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from that. تكاد تميز من الغيظ. It will be almost as it will burst from rage. Who will it be enraged at? The criminals of Allah, those who disobeyed Allah in this world. Every creation obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only mankind and the jinn disobey. Otherwise, no other creation disobeys. So that day, it will be filled with rage, and it wants to eat them. Even the words تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ show extreme anger. It's not just angry, but filled with fury. كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ whenever a group is put in it, سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا its keepers will ask. Whose keepers? Keepers of Jahannam. أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ didn't a warner come to you? We see the same topic covered in Surah Az-Zumar, Ayah 71. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا and those who disbelieve will be driven or pushed to the hell in groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا until they reach it and its gates will be opened. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا and its guards will say, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْكُمْ didn't come to you messengers from yourselves? يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ who recited upon you verses or ayat of your sustainer, of your Lord. وَيُنْذِرُونَكُمْ and they warned you. لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا your meeting of this day of yours. And here in Surah Al-Mulk, the same thing is mentioned. Didn't a warner come to you? Why are they asking this? It's not that they don't know that they had come or not. Rather, the keepers know that the warners had been sent to them. But they ask out of surprise. Even when the warners were sent to them, even then, they bargained for the fire they are about to enter. They questioned the groups entering. Didn't anyone warn you? Didn't anyone recite the ayahs to them? Didn't anyone tell them about this meeting with Allah this day? Or anyone to tell them about hell? and its monstrosity. Didn't anyone come to warn them? This question is, didn't anyone reproach them for their conduct? Their life was spent following after their desires. They spent their life of 60 to 70 years wasted. Their eyes were closed their whole life. Didn't they have any sense of purpose in their life? Did they not think that they had to return back? No matter how long the life a person has, they still have to return back to Allah. But they never had time to think about this. وَقَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Now they respond and say, yes, why not? The regret they will have when they are asked, and how remorseful they will feel when they will say, yes, they came. This is something not comparable to in this life. For example, if anyone has a weapon and they give it to someone for safekeeping, but they tell them to safeguard it because it can kill someone, but the person leaves it out and his child picks it up and he shoots himself, ending his life. The regret and the remorse the mother will have for being careless. Others will say, you were told to be careful and were told to keep it out of sight from the kids. Now the self-blame she will carry on herself for her carelessness. This is just a small example. Those who will see the hell will blame themselves to the point that they will bite their hands and fists. What did they do in this life? So they will say, قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. In fact, warners did come to us. And they will admit their fault in frustration and will say, فَكَذَّبْنَا. Then we rejected. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we had said, Allah did not send down anything. And would say to the warners, these are all made up things. Nothing will happen. مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We hear these phrases, even from Muslims, who say nothing will happen. These are just made up stories to scare people. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. And they would say to the warners were the prophets or those who warned after the prophets, they would say, you are not except in a big straying yourself. These are the misguided, mad fanatics, and not just strayed, ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ, a big misguidance. These are the ones far off and misguided. They would call the warners crazy. Allah is so merciful that He tells us these matters in this life. May Allah give us a consciousness that even after learning, we don't become like those who do not know about it. So there they will confess and remember that they were reminded and given chances, and they had heard and were told, but they did not listen. Then they will say, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ. Only if we had listened. Which listening is referred here? As the warners would tell them and remind them. And they did not listen. Here this listening is listening with attentiveness. Because if someone says something to an animal, it too will hear what you are saying. But it doesn't understand what is being said to it. Just the same. Some people's listening is as listening of the animals. They are told, but they do not understand, nor take heed. So they will say, only if we had listened and paid heed. Then there are some who don't even want to hear. Many people are called to hear the reminders, but they say, we don't have the time. And they give excuses. And those who didn't listen here will regret there and wish that they had listened. Why is listening emphasized? Because when a person listens, they will gain knowledge of it and take effect in their heart. Listening is the first step to recognize the truth and falsehood. And if anyone doesn't hear or listen, how will they act upon the commands? So listening is the first step. Some make an excuse that if they listen, they will have to act upon the commands. So if they don't listen, it means one doesn't want to act upon it. That day they will wish they had listened. Then there are those who listen but act as if they didn't hear anything at all. They hear, but are thinking about something else or occupied with other things, not giving any importance to the reminders of Allah. They consider other things more important than the Book of Allah. Here, listening refers to listening to the reminders in the Quran and also what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said. In Surah Az-Zumar, it is mentioned, "Didn't the warners recite upon you verses of Allah's book? So there they will wish they had listened to and paid heed to what the prophets were reminding them of." Many people today do not even want to hear when the reminders are given free of any cost. They do not even have to leave the comfort of their homes. And this saying of theirs is gaining great lesson. They will say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Only if we had listened or used our intellect, we would not have been from the companions of the blazing fire. Ashab al-Sa'id means there will not only be blazing fire, but companions who are the companions of fire as well. Such company who will be burning as well, who used to do evil in the world, that will not be a good company. So with two channels or means, man can gain guidance, either if he listens to the reminders or uses his intellect to ponder on the verses of Allah by reaching to the correct conclusion. Allah gives chances to recognize his warnings. Then after this, where else would they get guidance? So there they will wish for one more chance so they could return and listen to the reminders and the ways of guidance. If we have the opportunity to hear the reminders, we should consider it a blessing that we are at the important step to gain guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen with consciousness and be ones to use our intellect to understand. Listening is the most easiest thing to do. A person tires from even looking and talking. For example, when anyone watches movies or anything else for an extended period of time, the eyes get tired. But ears don't tire or ache from listening. Even then, after that, if people do not listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ, so they confess their sins of not listening nor using their intellect. But no use for their confession, as whenever Pharaoh sees hell, he will say, I believe in Allah. Even Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl will become believers in the hereafter. But they had to recognize and acknowledge and believe in this life. Only then a person can benefit. Accepting in the hereafter will not benefit, even if they have given up being stubborn and acknowledge that they were wrong and made mistakes and blame themselves. It will not benefit them there. فَسُحْقَ لِيَسْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so remoteness, destruction, or curse for the companions of the blazing fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses such people, those who bargain such an evil outcome for themselves. Now those who fear Allah are mentioned. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, indeed those who fear their Lord, بِالْغَيْبِ, with the unseen. These people have not seen Allah, but still they fear Him, no matter where they are or whatever their dealings are. They remember and fear the punishment of Allah. And in yakhshawna is not fear from someone scary, but fearing someone out of extreme respect and awe and reverence. As long ago, when there was great respect for parents, for example, if the father was sitting close by, the kids would be conscious and not misbehave out of respect. Or even teachers, if they were present, would fear not doing anything out of fear and reverence and respect for the teacher. So having extreme reverence of Allah and fearing His punishment, even if one cannot see Him. As mentioned in hadith about gatherings held for remembrance of Allah and the supplications of those present in such gatherings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angels, have they seen Jahannam as they are making so much du'as and asking refuge from it? The angels say, O Allah, they have not seen it. Even then they are praying and supplicating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that which they want salvation from, I have freed them from it. And whoever fears Allah without seeing Him and knows with certainty that Allah is watching them and abstains from sins and wrongdoings out of respect and regard of this. Second meaning of bil-ghayb is that even when they are absent from people, they fear Allah, even when there is no one else to see them or ask them about the wrongs they do, or they are alone at home and there is darkness and no one can know what they are doing, or they are in a far-off country where they do not know anyone, but still fear Allah and know that Allah is watching them. Then for them, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ, for them is forgiveness and a great reward. It doesn't say azim, which is also great, which is said mostly. Here it says ajrun kabir. Why? Because the disbelievers in Ayah 9 would say to those who reminded them that you are in a big strain, Allah rewards them with great reward. وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوْ وَجْهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Whether you conceal or hide your sayings or you proclaim it loudly, it doesn't matter to Allah. Whatever is in the hearts, and no one else knows about it. As sometimes a person shows something else while in their heart is something else. Indeed, He knows the things the person doesn't even know about himself. The secrets of the breast. Sometimes person doesn't even know his own intention about certain things, and could be saying that I am doing this for Allah, while his intentions are something else. But the person doesn't realize, but is deceiving himself. Allah knows even that. Sometimes a person doesn't know why he's feeling frustrated and feels sad in his heart, but doesn't understand why. Why Allah knows. This is because أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. Wouldn't the one who created him know what he created? You think that Allah doesn't know. If a person says Allah doesn't know my needs or about my sadness or what I'm going through, people say Allah doesn't know. No. When we get this thought, we should say أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. Or when we think a certain command is very difficult to do, then again think أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. The one who created, wouldn't he know what is difficult and impossible for us to do? Wouldn't he know if a certain command would apply to this certain time? Rather, he knows what each man can bear. This shows the weakness of man and shows Allah knows the need of each and every person, what difficulties or hardships they are going through, what their day-to-day challenges are faced by Him. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. Shouldn't he know what He created? وَهُوَ اللَّتِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And He is all-perceiving and all-aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Latif, is a beautiful name. It means that he is aware of the minutest detail, which no one else even knows about. He knows of each and every person's, even the smallest need, the smallest deeds. Allah is aware of even the smallest thing. Even the person may not even know about himself, but Allah is aware about it, as Allah sees it and is in His sight. For example, oxygen, which we cannot see, but is our need. We do not even know what level it should be at. He who fulfills this need knows how much we need, and he maintains the balance. People don't know their entire life how much is needed to breathe. Everyone in this world is breathing and using it for free. This is just one need of man. There are so many other needs that he doesn't even know about. A second meaning is that he is most kind and gentle and most subtle, and he takes care of man's needs and affairs in such a way that the man doesn't even realize himself, such as his sustenance. He is so kind, and he keeps on showering his blessings on man, even if the man is disobedient to him. And Al-Khabir, all aware, he is aware of even the minutest and most hidden thing. He knows even the treachery of the eyes, what they see, he knows even this. هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا. He is one who made the earth subservient for you. Man uses this earth, walks about on it, does constructions on it, runs upon it, digs it, and throws his trash and buries his dead. Man uses this earth in every way possible. He builds roads, bridges upon it. He sows the seeds in it and gets out its food and takes out from its treasures. From this we see how this earth is serving mankind and is subservient and doesn't say anything. It is not something dead. Rather, Allah has made it subservient for man. It is said that it is rotating on its own axis at the speed of 1,000 miles per hour and going around the sun at the speed of about 65,000 miles per hour. So it is moving forward and spinning on its own axis. It has two movements. Despite this, it is made subservient to us. We are upon such a speedy ride, and we do not tire as one travels on other rides, such as traveling on a long distance in a car. Upon this earth we sleep. Upon it we spend our days and conduct our affairs. Yet we do not feel its slightest movement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He made it subservient. And we think, this is how it is, because we have found it such since we came to this world. No matter how we tread, it doesn't say anything to us. In that case, if it is obeying Allah, then it has sense. Inside of it is lava, but doesn't burst out, so it consumes us. We walk upon it easily. Allah has spread it out for us, and we walk upon its sides or mountains without worry. If its gravity was made less, and was not upon the commands of Allah, man would be flying about, out of control, and would not be able to survive. Because of the speed at which it is moving, man would be crushed, just as vegetables are put in a grinder. Allah has made it subservient. So Huwa is what we should recognize and acknowledge, and not forget. We walk upon it and know its qualities. Is it happening by itself? If we ourselves do not get credit for the smallest thing we do, we get offended and do not like it. While Allah made this earth subservient to us, in addition to all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us, then He asks us to be thankful to Him for His blessings. while we do not even acknowledge his favors, and say it happened by itself, this way or that way. We study about so many things in nature, the winds, the day and night, yet we do not remember Allah as their creator. وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, and eat from his provision. Man's sustenance, things we eat and drink, all of our needs are fulfilled upon this planet. We do not need to import anything from a different planet. We take out all our needs from this planet. Medicines, oil, gold, precious stones, everything is from here. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورُ, and to him is our resurrection. It is Allah who sustains us on this earth. We go about walking and traveling on it, taking out our provisions of sustenance. There is nothing wrong in taking out its provisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it for our use, but we cannot forget that we have to return back to Allah, who sustained us on this earth. إِلَيْهِ النُّشُورُ, to him is the returning and resurrection. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ, do you feel secure that one who is in the heavens will cause you to sink in the earth? Who is being referred to in fis-sama'i? It refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is upon the throne. He is not everywhere, as some people attest. Allah is not present everywhere in his being, but with his attributes, he is everywhere. No one can say that Allah is in this room or anywhere else. No, he is in the heavens upon the throne. This is mentioned many times in the Quran, that he is established upon his throne. How? We do not know. Nor are we allowed to speculate how. But, fis-sama'i, just as when we supplicate, we raise our hands to the sky. If we worry about a matter, we look up. This is programmed within man. Even if man is not taught to call this way with his hands raised, he does it because of his programming. Fis-sama'i, so have you become fearless that one who is in the heavens can cause us to sink in the earth? If Allah wills, it only takes a few seconds, as we see in the earthquakes. People see stars even in the day when it happens. Such terror from being traumatized from the one who survives an earthquake. So in Yakhsifa is being sunk. Allah gave us so many blessings. He made this earth a place of sustenance, and there is no other planet man can survive upon. Everything is temperature, is weather, is conditions. Everything is according to man's requirement. His system of day and night with complete balance. Even this man doesn't understand. If he causes them to sink in the earth, what would man do? Don't you fear if it would rip up or goes out of its orbit? Man doesn't fear this. We hear about sinkholes in the earth. We swallow up people and properties. We also see how cracks in the earth swallow up cars and buildings. Who can stop it if there is an earthquake? Even if all of mankind corroborates, cannot do anything to stop it. Allah asks, have you become fearless? Don't you fear? أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا, or have you felt secure that the one in the heavens will send upon you rain or whirlwind of stones from the sky, or raise them up from the ground itself? There were many past nations who faced punishments of violent whirlwinds of stones, such as people of Lut alayhi salam. If Allah sent upon them, then he can send upon anyone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be so fearful when he saw the signs of storms and heavy clouds. He would turn to the masjid. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would ask him about his worry, saying the people feel happy seeing the clouds and the signs of rain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a nation passed before you who thought the same when they saw the thick dark clouds, thinking it would be bringing rain for them. Rather, it was a chastisement and punishment in those clouds for them. So I fear that it is not a punishment. While mankind is fearless, even living in disobedience, lying, cheating, yet they have no worry about Allah's punishment descending upon them. Man should never become fearless of chastisement from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرُ. Soon they will know how is my warning. Or soon they will know my warning that these are not just talks, that they do not take seriously. وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرُ. And certainly belied those before you. When لَقَدْ comes, it is for emphasis. So how was my punishment? They screamed and pleaded, but it was of no avail. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ. Did they not see towards the birds above them in rows, and how they fold in their wings? We are told to direct our attention towards the sky, then the earth, that is Alulan, how it is subservient. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs our attention to a creation between the skies and the earth, who is also obedient to Allah. Upon the skies and heavens, we were shown the stars and their being in layers. If we look back at the word tibaqa, we see man's life. Just as skies or heavens are one above another, similarly, man's life is in stages or phases. The first phase is in the womb of the mother. Then the next phase, after coming into the world and childhood, then adolescence, then youth, then adulthood, getting married and having one's own kids, then old age, then the stage of it being in the grave. So man's life is also in stages. Also in Zalulan, as we saw this word in Surah Al-Baqarah, when the Bani Israel asked Musa alayhi salam about the cow that they were told to slaughter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned its qualities. In it was Zalulan, the animal that is subservient. Similarly, the earth is also made subservient. Just as a cow, we take out its milk and get out other benefits from it, while it stays with its head bowed. So Allah made it subservient, just as He made the earth subjected and subservient. Then in the middle, the birds, how they are arranged in rows. We see this in certain species of birds. When they fly up, they fly in arranged rows, especially in a V shape. While in the skies, it would be so difficult to make these rows. But sadly, even we cannot make straight rows for Salah in the Masajid. While these birds in the air make these straight rows, وَيَقْبِدْن, sometimes contracting and sometimes opening their wings. Who is doing this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. They do not fly on their own. Who is holding them and making them fly in the air and not getting affected by the pull of gravity? Not holds them except Ar-Rahman. No one else can hold them up. Even about the skies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that Ar-Rahman has upheld it. If He was not to uphold it, it would fall down. Things we do not consider, they have support of someone. This is where the true believer is different from others. The others will just look at the bird and how it flies and will praise how it flies. But a true believer will see the birds in flight, but his sight will be toward the one who is making it fly. That is the difference. Everyone sees the bird flying, even small children, they will tell you. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ. But only a true believer will realize and acknowledge that Allah is the one holding them in the sky. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ. Indeed, he is all-seer of all things. Nothing is hidden from him. It was not that Allah created the universe, and mankind, and the birds, and other animals, and everything else. Then he left everything on his own whim, doing whatever it pleases on his own. As some people say that Allah doesn't monitor his creation, and say he made everything and left it to do as it pleases, just as when a person makes a machine and leaves it to work on its own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. He not only created with each and every moment, he is holding on to even every bird. He has a hold on and sustains his every creation, every moment. Allah is safeguarding and sustaining his creation, and he nurtures it and provides its every need. If Allah has a hold even on a bird, and if the bird is dependent on him, and only because Allah holds it, it will fly, then how can our lives be our own? He is sustaining us and upholding us. He has kept us alive. This is why we are alive. We are not on our own. Everything is in his sight and under his watch. He just didn't create and leave his creation to their whims.